But I, as a worker, have nothing to lose yet, and I'm always happy and always happy. And the worker, he strolls along with a hum of a song, and the winds help him out. But be careful, you rich people, because Orenkite, how would you call Orenkite? The, not exactly the poor, but a devastation of the poor is coming to an end. And as he walks along on the fields where the corn is tall, and the corn is, even the corn is accepting him. And the birds are singing to him. And everything sounds like beautiful clung in beautiful notes. Now, whether you like it or you don't like it, who is patient, who has patience enough to see your troubles? But just let someone see that, then the bus is going to be right after you. You know, if you just begin to make a face that you can't, that you're in trouble, you need a little money, this and that, that's all. Then the bus got you. You are hungry or not, just don't think of misery. But with a smile on your lips, hold your misery to yourself, and then accumulate the misery, and let your venom on the boss go full speed, and then dress yourself in the best clothing, because you are beginning to fight, for everything belongs to you. And then you do fight, and then you do fight until the last ounce of blood. Because if you don't, you'll remain poor. Ever can understand this song, certainly knows what it means. Might be translated when I, this is in Jewish I'm going to sing. Mm-hmm. You hear that? I'm going to sing in Jewish.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
Nishkein noiz, nishkein heim, der farmegen schmates, lebt sich lustig und sorglos, ach nicht euch kein schmates. Mit sein Reichkeit der Gewirr kann ich ruhig schlafen, und der Schlepper Israel singt sich freilach offen. Er spaziert mit Gesang und der Wind singt unter hielt sich reiche vom Weg Orinkeit geht unter. There's so much meaning in it. Korn wächst voller Ruhm, es neigen sich die Sagen, swische Schlepper im Wald, er sieht zu die Klangen. Willst du wein, willst du nicht, wer wird sein deine Klagen? Fallarop, nor basir, wird der Herr dir jogen. Bist du satt oder nicht, treib weg die Sorgen. Nicht erschmeichel auf deine Lippen, auf dein zarter Borgen. Lass dein Zorn Unmut aus, warf weg den Dalles, putz sich aus, greift sich zu, kennt, weil dann sie alles. You understand some of it, don't you? Oh, these words are just... Oh, they just...
I had to be on a scrape, so it
lowered down the scrape.
Lower that.
I see. That.
Saving pile.
Yeah.
So everything went all right, but then she went too much on a salt pile.
Yeah.
So that one wheel got hung up on that
pile.
The tractor raised right up. Oh, geez.
I just closed my eyes. I'm up in the air.
I couldn't holler either. I couldn't even holler anymore. Anyway, I hollered anyway that step on the clutch. And I guess she stepped on a clutch or pulled on a brake or something. But that thing was way up in there.
I was trying to make a picture of it then. I just looked behind me and here I'm up in the air.
I don't know.
I was just ready to topple over, you know, with that tractor.
Ooh,
well, I don't think
kill that way.
Them, they don't topple over. Very easy, I suppose. Oh, grab the brake. But she stopped it herself anyhow.
Well, that thing was just like jumping, and was going, why you on
it? Well, that's enough. That's all. I don't think she's been on a tractor since.
I got scared then.
Did you start a new sawdust pile?
No, we had her berries on the side of the, on the seat there, and they were starting to drop off, so she started picking them up, and while she was doing that, the car went in the pickup truck in the swamp, and she came there on the side, and she says, I want my husband to know about this, and I'd like to get that truck out of there. So I says, okay, I'll come and help you. I says, I'm not very good at this tractor, but I'll come and see what I can do. So we went up there, and I thought that she was just in the ditch, you know, and here she was way in the swamp, so I fell total long enough, so I figured I'm going to back right into the swamp with that tractor. And then I started backing up in there, and one wheel went down, and the tractor was like this. So then he couldn't get no more gas, you know. The tank was slanted so much.
Oh.
Stop there. No, I couldn't do nothing anymore.
If they
we went and got some more gas, but still I couldn't do nothing with it. So I says, you better go and call your husband.
So what are you doing now?
She has to call her husband, and then I says, well, if you can manage that tractor, okay, you can pull that truck out of there. But I says, I won't.
And the wind, even the wind helps him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he whistles his way through.
But his boss didn't sleep nice.
But again, his boss didn't sleep nice.
Isn't that cute?
Though he is, but well, and substance is, but don't forget that the day of reckoning is coming, and prepare yourself for the fight. And dress yourself up in the best clothes and fight for the last drop of blood, because you have nothing to lose.
You left out the best part for us.
Well, I don't remember exactly.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
don't waste your hatred on the boss.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He owns it, but he can't enjoy it.
All right, what song are we going to hear now?
So sing it now. Where are you?
Let's sing some songs, huh?
Sure.
Oh,
well, look at you.
No, Mary, let's sing a song.
There's a song that goes, let's sing a song about something about.
No, I want to sing
the song.
The song I want to sing.
What about?
There's two songs I know of in the
world.
All in Surgeon General's Mamma Mia, they'll all be hanging. They'll all be hanging. Madrid, your wondrous city. Madrid, your wondrous city. Oh, Mamma Mia, Mia.
Okay, now let's sing.
Everything around us, all over the world, and the land, and the sea.
So zoek to kinderlach, and gedenk your tire is, that's an old Jewish folk song.
I'm going to try it on her thing.
Orca had gotten away that Come on, Ali. Come on. Let's have
I've had enough vodka yet.
Lucy?
No, I don't get any.
You got any?
Bob,
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 Robert J. What do you want?
Coach her a little bit. She says she's got no Italian song. Now let's hear one of her Italian songs. Huh?
Now we got a name.
And her husband left her. And
you want to sing?
And so she was looking for another husband.
Oh.
Yeah. So she had a lot of friends in the in the army, and they used to take her out. And some of them will promise her one thing, another will promise another thing, and she decides she is not going to go for any one of them. She is shooting very high. It's either Stalin or Dzerzhinsky. I'm not the Holy Mary. I wouldn't have a child like Mary did, Jesus Christos.
Yeah, right. Immaculate.
In other words, she's...
I understand that.
What's her name?
Maybe he only got her name.
I understand. Siggy, don't look at me so sharp.
Sweet steed, распевает птичка, мой миллионок большевик, а я большевичка. Ха-ха, 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 мой миллионок большевик, а я большевичка. Я уже не твоя, и уж не Есенина. Он вчера меня водил слушать речи Ленина. Ха-ха, ха-ха, ха-ха. Он вчера меня водил слушать речи Ленина. Я в своей красоте очень-то уверена, если Сталин не возьмет, выйду за Тетерина. Ха-ха, ха-ха, ха-ха. Если Сталин не возьмет, выйду за Чичерина. Ты целуй меня в губы, я не Богородица, у меня Иисус Христос все равно не родится.
Amen.
Where he's supposed to write. There are a couple of boxes, I don't know what they are made of. No chair for him to sit on. The table has bubbles on the top or the bed. And I just couldn't get over it. Vic, he noticed that and we walked out. I said, what's wrong, Maurice? So I told her that maybe you are not conscious of it, but I'm a furniture worker and I'm ashamed to walk in and I was like this. People's World, my gosh. Freedom Press. So she said, well, can you do something about it? I said, well, at other times I would promise you definitely, but this time my industry is shot to pieces. I'm blacklisted for 2.5 years. I had no shop. I don't know where to go. But I'll try. And so I kept on trying. And wherever I approached, I couldn't get it. I need hair, I need cotton, springs, foam rubber, and frames above all. I couldn't get it. I got a private job in Brooklyn. One of our people, who both of them were kicked out from school, and some of her friends were Ritzy friends, and she took up one there that promised. She said, all right, if you are that way, you pay for the fabric, and another friend will pay for the work, and I'll recover it if you are ashamed I should move that way to Cleveland. So, meanwhile, she got hers out of something which she didn't expect. Then I looked at her and I said, listen, Lil, you have so many ritzy friends. And I told her the story about Freedom Press. She looked at me and she says, well, I'll tell you. Let me think about it. And about a half an hour later, she comes in and she says, Maurice, come up with me. I go up with her. There's a lot seat and 2 chairs. The only thing they need is taking everything off, scraping off the frame, putting it in good shape, re-gluing it. Then you need hair, cotton, springs, all the other stuff. But I was so overwhelmed with this found treasury, so to speak, that I thought to myself, gee whiz, I better take this darn thing out of here as fast as I can before they change their mind. So I called up one friend that Merida knows, an Italian guy. I said, and called him to the shop. I said, Al, come right over. And he did. I said, but on the way, pick up another guy with a car. And so we got 2 cars and we got it out. And then, well, we have to go and find hair, we have to find cotton, we have to find them. All that stuff again. Well, we licked that problem too. The most expensive 2 items, rubber cushions and fabric. So rubber cushions didn't worry me because I went up to the local union and I told them, now you break your neck and get me rubber cushions, which they did. But fabric, I needed about 14 yards or 13 yards for the love seat. I needed, and for Paul's share, I wanted to have the best leather in market. Well, that I could lick too, you see. But the fabric for the others, that baffled me. You know, at other times, as I said, when people are working, there is no trouble to pick up $100. But now, everybody is out. So I went into a good friend of ours, Dr. Kimmelman, an eye specialist. and it was just before I was to leave, and I had to examine my eyes. He insisted that I should not go with the glasses, but he's going to give me a pair of sunglasses. So I sit in the chair and toy with the idea, should I tell Dave or shouldn't I? That was after he got a good drubbing, you know. He had to loan $2,000, should I tell you about it? Mm. He never got it back, and nobody even dreamed of going up and saying, Dave, you apologize. Dave, I mean, just like that.
Yeah, they never dreamed of
that. Oh, that infuriates. But still in all, he's still a good guy, you know. So I sit in the chair, I suppose he noticed that I'm uneasy. And he said, what is it? So I told him, I said, Dave, I don't expect you to raise the money. But I do know that in the doctor group, I don't think it would hurt anybody to give an extra $5 bill. He said, Paul, you hit it. That's the swellest idea. I was sure with that now. Well, he got the money. I told him where to go up to a place and get the fabric. And he was insulted by, we cannot get a fabric for $2 or $3. They asked for Paul. I said, Dave, that's up to you now. Now the question of leather. So we have a sort of a liberal guy whose kid belonged in the movie. And I knew him. So I go up to him and I don't tell him a thing about what I need a leather for, what I'm going to pay, not going to pay. I said, Israel, I need so many feet. Top grade. And I described the composition of the office, the color scheme. And he said, oh, I got just the thing you need. He brings it out. And then I tell him what it is for. The guy nearly keeled over. Said, why do you need this center? I'll give you a better. I said, don't do me any favors. Don't give me anything better. This is just what I need. I said, all right, I know it's too hard for you. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call up Ruthie. And Ruthie, amongst her friends, she'll see that he gets it. Oh, no, don't do it. I'll mend it somehow. He didn't want his daughter to know that he's refusing. I got the whole thing. Well, and here the time is close by. I have to leave. I have only about 10 days. So I called up this guy, the other guy, and in my basement, with the permission of the super, opened up a little shop. This one was taking the frames apart, and that one was varnishing, and the other one was cutting. It was a merry-go-round, you know, for a week's time, he finished it. Thursday evening, I have to leave. Wednesday evening, I thought that I would be able to deliver it, but Wednesday evening, Lisa graduated, so I couldn't do that. So it remains on Thursday. But at the same time, we keep it as a secret from, what's her name, Thelma Dale and Lou Burnham. And of course, Paul Robeson does not have to know. Because it's a present and it's a surprise.
Yeah.
So I call up Vicky and told her, now before you make any kind of arrangements, come down. You'll see what it is. It was late during the day or towards the evening. Just before I went to, we went to Lisa's graduation. And finally she came down and she saw it, she nearly collapsed. They never dreamed of having things like that in their office. I said, now, you get a hold of Thelma and Lou Burnham. Get the keys and have them early in the morning. I still haven't got a trucker and I don't want to pay $15 or $20 for delivery. But then I thought, well, I'll think about it. A little later, during the graduation, I'll have time to think, find somebody. And sure enough, I did think of somebody right around the corner. Also, one of our guys that fell out, you know, and he was forced to open up a little shop, and he has 2-3 people working with him. Sort of a, I don't know, clumsy cooperative, call it. So I come over and say, Arnie, early in the morning, I said, come over to him and I said, Arnie, this is what I have and this is what you've got to do. He said, look, Maurice, the people are waiting for work. I said, I don't care. Paul is waiting for this stuff. Now, which is more important? The people to lose an hour or Paul to get his stuff to sit on? Couldn't refuse. So he bring it out there. And Vicky is waiting. Opens up, we place everything in place, we close it up, and I go home. I still have to go and buy tickets, I have to buy something for... I'm leaving 6:15. And here, Lou Burnham calls up. Where are you? I said, never mind where I am. I'm on my way. Thelma calls up. When are you going? I said, I left already. So I left him like that.
And Paul went in and saw his chair.
Paul, yeah, and Paul, he opened up his eyes. I wasn't there, but Vicky called me up and she told me, she says, and these are the people that really think about freedom. He was speechless. See, I was afraid. You know, Paul's got to have a chair. He can't have just any kind of a chair. And he's got to have a chair, and he's got that fabric that will hold him up and not collapse any chair. And it's just like somebody made the chair to order, you know. A wide seat, deep enough.
Strong enough.
A strong back, strong enough, Paul, can he hit it? And it wouldn't break. And, oh, it was really terrific.
Segovia playing his own transcriptions. Thank you.
Thank you.
guitarist Andres Segovia played five of his own transcriptions for guitar of selections by Bach. A prelude, written originally for the lute, a courant from the Bach suite number 2 for cello, a sarabande and bourrée from the suite number 1 in E minor for the lute, and a fugue, written originally for the lute.
Thank you. Time 15 before 10.
Hello? Yes, Mr. Jackson.